Okay, well, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design podcast. I am your host, Heather, and as always, I am so happy that you are here spending a little bit of time with me today. Today's episode is, of course, a fun one. We are going to be doing a non-sacrals survival guide. I mean, however, you know, like, while I will be specifically obviously speaking from the perspective from someone who does not have a defined sacral center, and so, you know, it is a lot of the advice will be tailored towards projectors being what I am, and then manifestors and reflectors as well, my fellow non-sacral types. I honestly do feel like a lot of the stuff that I'm going to say, in the classic, you know, I'm a 3-5, so it is stuff that I've lived and am currently living and experimenting with and learning myself. I think it will apply to everyone. Like, even if you do have a defined sacral center, I still think you'll find some goodness in, or some wisdom or something helpful in what we talk about. So I'm home. I flew home. So I'm recording this on Wednesday. And I flew home last Thursday and I arrived home Friday night. And it was not so bad. I mean, you know that I was dreading that 25-hour flight, but it really wasn't so bad. The last leg of my flight, which was like 13 hours, and I got put in a middle seat and I was so annoyed, but I ended up being sandwiched between two other like solo female travelers, who'd both been away for a long chunk of time and were coming home to Melbourne. So yeah, it was really strange, but it was really, really nice. So we just like chatted, and the time passed before I knew it. And I actually slept so well. I hardly ever sleep on flights, but I slept like 8 out of the 13 hours. It was amazing. And then the rest of the time just ate the food and all of that. I mean, hot take, honestly, if you don't order like a special like vegetarian meal or gluten-free meal or whatever you want to order, on a flight, always do it, because you always get your food first. Like that first flight, I was so hungry by the time we got in the air, and I could not have waited till they brought around like the food options. But fortunately I didn't have to, because I got my meals, because I order like the veggie meals. I got them like half an hour before anyone else does, you know? So there is just a hot take, you know, even if you aren't vegetarian, like just do it while you fly, because it's so worth it. Okay. So, but yeah, so I've been acclimatizing to being home. The jet lag was so bad for the first few days. I'm finally starting to adjust, but you know, obviously it's like an 8-hour time difference. So it's like the worst you can have between here and Europe. I've just been catching up with my friends. I have been like chilling. We had like a family reunion on Saturday, and then, well, it's funny, 'cause like my middle sister, who was the one like I traveled with a bunch last year, she's been home for about 3 months. And then I said, I'm coming home. She's like, oh, well, I'm going away. She's about to do like a, you know, 6-month long road trip around Australia. But you know, we managed to, like overlap one weekend, where everyone was home. So that was really cute. My mum was very, very happy with that, having a little family reunion. So that was really fun. And then I did get to go to the doctor. So if you don't know, I, have some health issues presently that are, playing on my mind. That was most of the reason why I traveled back home from Europe. So I went to the doctor's yesterday, got some blood tests, have an ultrasound tomorrow. So I'll keep you updated, but I have been feeling a lot better. I think just, yes, not having to think about where I'm going next and what I'm doing and how to speak the language and all of that stuff, has taken a lot of stress off of my body. So it's able to rest. So that's the being home update. You can always, I mean, yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about, what else has been going on. So if you listen to last week, I think last week was when I spoke about it, you know that I was doing, yeah, it must have been last week, because it was literally only like 10 days ago or whatever. So I did, over this most recent new moon, I did a 9-day ritual for like reanimating the magic inside of your business and like reconnecting to my business, like, in a deeper way. This was a ritual totally made up by me. And I actually have posted that ritual, like, day one to day nine, and, like, instructions for it on my membership. So if you're a member, it's there. If you want to become a member, that will be linked in the show notes. There's, like, a ridiculous amount of stuff in there. And one of the things, well, yeah, there was so much, but, like, one of the things that I really realized through doing this, like, intimacy, reconnection, like, you know, relationship reconciliation with my business after we'd, like, fallen, you know, we'd fallen out of closeness, you know, we'd lost contact. We were just, like, going through the motions, you know, a lot of the time. But now we're close again and, you know, we started communicating again. And one of the things, well, there were several things that I realized, but one of the big things that I realized was, I wanted to change my Instagram handle and therefore, like, a lot of my branding, kind of, like, not, like, in a big way, but just, not, like, it's not, like, what you would call a full rebrand, but just, like, making some little adjustments, because obviously, like, Relentless Alignment, like, just basically, which was my old Instagram handle, it fit for the period of time that I had it, which is, like, so sorry. It was, like, a 2-year period when I was really, like, working towards something, you know. It, like, Relentless Alignment has that frequency of, like, figuring things out and, like, looking for clarity and all of that. And again, I'm a 3-5. I feel like my Instagram handle, my brand, my business, and what I'm talking about will always be reflective of what I'm actually experiencing in my life. Like, that is one thing. Like, you can never, like, you will never find me teaching what I have not learned firsthand or are not, like, currently learning firsthand. Except I had fell out of resonance with that because I also feel like I am currently building in, like, and this is a little bit about kind of what we're going to talk about today, when we talk about, like, non-sacral and work, but, like, what I'm building is a much more, like, stable, grounded, sure of itself, business. And just also, like, obviously I have, because now that I'm doing, like, psychic work and healing and energy work and stuff like that, I wanted a Instagram handle, a business name, etc., that just allowed space, I felt, like, was a bit more cohesive with everything that I do. Anyway, so firstly, I wanted the Human Design Witch, but someone else had that Instagram handle already, so that's fine, we'll allow them that. And then I was like, okay, the Human Design Hedge Witch, like, it just, like, came into my mind. So a hedge witch is, well, they're often, like, it's funny because they're often, like, lumped in with a green witch, I guess, because, like, hedges. But what a hedge witch actually is it's actually referring to something in witchcraft called spirit flight, which is essentially, okay, so where they get their name, where the hedge witch gets their name, without going too deep into this, because otherwise we'll be here forever, is, like, okay, so the hedges were on, like, the outskirts of a village, protecting the village from before, like, the wild forest, like, begins, okay? So the witch or the hedge witch is that person who lives on the outskirts of town, maybe beyond the hedge or right near the hedge, because she's, like, unafraid to be close to the mysterious dark forest where there, you know, could be any number of, like, fairy folk or just, like, wolves, you know, creatures that you don't want to encounter, all of that. But then also, you know, in a more, I guess, like, since we don't necessarily live, well, we're not lucky enough to live in villages with little, like, hedges and forests on the outskirts these days. So the hedge witch is that witch who is going to do spirit flight, which is often called, like, hedge jumping or crossing the hedge, which just means, like, crossing from the safety of this world, the physical world, into the other world, right? So again, much like the mysterious forest, it's like, here you more or less know what you're going to encounter. You're not going to encounter, like, fey folk, you know, just, you know, spirits, demons, all of that. But once you cross the hedge and you move into the other world, therefore taking part in spirit flight, you know, you have to be aware you will encounter mysterious things that aren't necessarily, like, explainable by logic. So that's a big part of what the hedge witch does. They're often always also referred to as like, well, okay, they're going to be that wise woman or wise man who lives on the outskirts of the village that you go to, like, no matter what's wrong. So they often do work with, like, herbals and stuff like that too. Anyway, I just felt this is a perfect representation for what I do, like, the human design hedge witch, because, yeah, I guess, like, a lot of the work that I've started this year incorporating into, you know, the more, like, I guess, like, you could say, like, grounded human design stuff is, like, spirit flight, right? Like, communing with spirits and moving into the other world and connecting to my guides, other people's guides, and all the fun things that happen beyond the hedge. So that happened. And then obviously just, like, a little bit of rebranding on my website and stuff like that. And the other big thing that came through was... that I'm so bored of doing just, like, regular services. Like, literally since I started my business, I've just done, like, a human design reading or, like, you know, human design mentoring or an evolutionary astrology reading, just, like, a basic one. But then I was, like, chatting with my business, like, in our ritual, we were communing and we were just, like, why don't we make them really fun? So actually launching this afternoon is, like, my Virgo season services that I'm offering. So you can just, like, browse to have a look at, I think there's, like, 5 or 6 new services that you can explore, but, you know, one that I'm the most excited about that I actually already launched and I already have a couple of orders for is my Daughter of the Goddess asteroid, like, evolutionary astrology asteroid reading. So I'm going to be looking at, if you've listened to my Goddess asteroid episode, I'm going to be looking at the asteroids in your chart, telling stories, sharing messages from your divine feminine and what she's craving. And, you know, to me, that is just, like, it's obviously an incredible thing that's fun for me. It's so medicinal for people to receive. But it's also an offering to the deities that I work with, right? The goddesses that I work with in my magical practice, in my devotional practice, because, you know, you get, like, a regular natal chart reading and, there are so many, like, women and, you know, people in mythology whose stories don't get told just in your day-to-day, you know, regular natal chart reading. And this is my way of really bringing those stories back to life and helping women, like, helping us see how these stories, these mythologies, these legends, these pieces and fragments of all of the goddesses do reside within each of us and our lives and healing through that. So that, like, all of my new services will be linked below. The other one I'm really excited about. So this is one that, so if you don't know, like, so I did probably close to 100 practice readings, over, like, I think it was, like, May, June, and July when I was just learning how to, and learning what I could do, basically, like, doing more psychic work and bringing that stuff in. And one thing that I really, really enjoyed doing was when people had decisions to make. So a lot of times people's question that they wanted to have answered by the Akashic Records would be like, should I move or should I stay? Or, you know, no one ever asked this, but an example might be like, oh, should I stay with my boyfriend or should we break up? You know, actually, no, I did work with that a couple of times. And obviously, like, out of my own personal ethics, I'm never going to be like, you should do this or you should make 100% make this complete life-changing decision. So what I actually taught myself to do is to, like, kind of zoom forward in both potential timelines and be like, okay, here is what your guides have to say about you taking this decision. Here's the imagery that I'm seeing. Here's, like, how this will feel, all of that. And here's any warnings or indications or whatever there, and then doing the exact same for the other potential timeline, and then giving the person all of that information so that they can then make a completely informed decision. And yeah, it went really, really well. And I think that is just so useful for decision making. So that is another new service that I'm really excited about. That's called the Oracle at Delphi, potential timeline reading. Okay. Anyway, so there's all of that. What else is going on? Oh, Wow, we have so many updates. Okay, so I'll rush through the other two, and then we'll get into today's topic because we don't want to run out of steam. Firstly, in my membership, so not only do you have like a 22 hours plus of like already like human design, like magical healing workshop content already, we also do monthly workshops. And starting on Monday, I'm going to be doing just like bonus podcasts, but they're going to be astrology for the week ahead. So you guys can like plan your weeks, all of that, but they're going to be goddess asteroid inclusive. So I'm going to have like probably like 9 or 10 of the goddess asteroids that I work with the most, that I'm most familiar with, you know, with the chart that I'm looking at for the week ahead. So that will be really, really fun. Again, just my offering to the divine feminine and all the different flavors and the deities and goddesses that I work with. And also it's just fun, right, to include that in our astrology. Okay. And then the other thing is that I will be reopening enrollment for the Applied Human Design Practitioner Training and Certification. And I'm going to be doing a much longer enrollment period than I usually do. I usually have like a 4-week enrollment period at most. But this time, because, well, with everything that we're going to be speaking about today, I am all about like long, lush, nervous system friendly to my nervous system and to your nervous system enrollment periods. So this will actually be a nearly 10 week, probably like 9.5 week enrollment period, because I want to start classes on the 31st of October, you know, the witch's new year, the witchiest day of the year. And well, my friends, we're starting a series on the podcast next week. We're doing the 9 energy centers, or I'm calling it a human design top to tail deconditioning 9-week ritual. So we're starting that next week. It's exactly what it sounds like. We're going to go top to tail. We're going to start with the human design head center, and we are going to work our way down to the root center. So starting from next week, if you usually just like, well, I mean, it's up to you, like, but yeah, because there's going to be probably like journal prompts, like it's going to have interaction from you included in what I'm sharing in each episode. So if you do want to, if you usually listen to me while driving, maybe you want to do it in a way where you're at home and you can like scribble notes while you're doing it, like maybe while you're cooking or whatever. But again, you can interact with it however you want. You can always like come back to the journal prompts after you've listened to the main chunk of the episode anyway. So it's gonna be really fun. So if you have like friends, family, whoever, who are either interested in human design or like curious about learning more, the next 9 weeks on this podcast is going to be really, really helpful, because obviously the energy centers are such like a building block to understanding the chart, and not even like the chart, but like your own energy, right? This is the focus of the next 9 weeks, is deeply understanding yourself, coming home to yourself, and hopefully doing a bit of layer shedding. So in the countdown to Halloween and yeah, classes beginning for the next round of Applied Human Design, then we will be doing this 9-week ritual. So that is starting next week. All right, that is all of my updates. Before we do that, obviously, if you want to become 55% more beautiful, go ahead and give me 5 stars if you're listening on Spotify. Or once you finish up, you know, give me 5 stars. Give me 5 stars and a rating review on iTunes, because you're the best. Okay. And then, yeah, so I'm the Human Design Head Witch on Instagram if you want to chat. That's where I am. Okay. So let's get stuck into it. All right. We kept the intro under 20 minutes. I'm pretty happy with that. We covered a lot. I'm going to like, it always happens that like I finish recording, then I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to say this, but whatever, let's get into it. Okay. So the non-sacral survival guide. So what exactly are we talking about? We are talking about everything that I have learned, am learning, am currently moving through when it comes to having an undefined sacral in a world that is so, so deeply like set up to think that what is normal Okay, so the standard setting is the sacral way of being, right? So the sacral way of being is essentially, like, let's summarize it. The sacral way of being is that A, you get energy from doing things you love, right? So how is that not true for non-sacrals? Non-sacrals, even when we do what we love, it still uses our energy, right? That sacral people will typically have a little bit more of a, well, they do definitely have a bit more of a battery. So again, this is going to depend on what specifically lights the specific sacral up. So whether that is socializing, whether that is their work, whether that is like sports and activities or like other activities, you know, whatever it is normal, right? It is viewed, like, in our specific, like, overculture, it is normal to do a lot of these things, to, like, that a full life is packing your life full of these things that light you up, right? And this conditioning, right, is very, very, it's just accepted, right? It is there, and I'm sure it lives inside of you, even if you have been already deconditioning from that sacral, okay? What else do we have in terms of, like, big differences between, well, I guess just, like, in terms of, like, daily rhythm, the sacral person, in terms of how they invest their energy, right, and how they work with their energy, is that they're going to, they're like, okay, so you're recharging your batteries overnight, the sacral person wakes up, and they might be like, oh, I don't know, I'm not really excited about today. But then they find something that they're excited, and their energy actually just, like, builds throughout the day, right? They can, like, almost, like, they can start flat. Like, you can have a sacral person that wakes up in the morning is like, blah, you know, I'm not, like, super excited, like, whatever. And then they're like, oh, wait, I want to, like, go crystal shopping, and then they spend the entire day doing that, and they get more energy, and then their friend calls them and they're like, do you want to do this? And like, yeah, we're doing this, and now we're going rock climbing and blah blah blah, and then they actually build that battery up, right? Because they're generating that energy, right? So they want to actually find ways that light them up, that feel good, to use up that battery throughout the day, so that they don't, you know, try and fall asleep with, like, a full battery. Like, they're not trying to rest with, like, all this, like, excitement and, like, I want to do this and I want to do this, right? That's how you get, like, flat, drained, bored by life. Sorry, I just smacked the wall. Sacrals versus the non-sacral, same thing. Like, we recharge through sleeping, ideally, if we're not, I guess, like, always sleeping next to a sacral person. So we recharge through sleep, we wake up, and this is just personal observation, but I do think that, like, a lot of non-sacral people are much more morning people. Not necessarily like as long as I get my time to myself in the morning, then I'm going to be much more efficient in the morning. Like, if I don't do the work I need to do, like right now, it's like 10 a.m., you know, I just woke up maybe an hour ago and did my little morning routine, you know, checked in with my gods, like had some breakfast, had a nice nourishing breakfast, and like this afternoon I want to go for a walk and I want to like do more leisurely things. But I know if I don't do this work thing in the morning this afternoon, I'm going to be a piece of cardboard. Like, there's just, you know, like that's just, yeah. And again, I have noticed that we definitely do, a lot of us work better in the morning hours. Now, this is obviously not true across the board, but that's because like we've just recharged. Our batteries are more or less full. And then the way that the non-sacral battery works, okay, is that, again, no matter what you're doing, you are using energy as you do it. So I do my makeup, that's using energy. I make my breakfast, that's using energy. I talk on the phone, oof, is that using energy, right? So that's why I'm very, like, discerning about who I pick up the phone for and at what times. And most of my friends know to call me like after 4 p.m. anyway, when I don't have to use my energy towards other things. All right, so there's that, okay? And so what happens is that non-sacral people are walking through this world trying to be normal and finding that we can't. Okay. Anyway, so let's look at the dominant existing paradigm. Okay. We also have like in, in like conditioning, like cultural conditioning, this is normal in air quotes, conditioning, the urgency of everything, right? So I want to point out specifically urgency and the perfecting nature. So urgency, right? The pace of life for humans right now, and you know, probably for the last, let's say like 30, 40, probably since the 80s especially, is too fast. Everyone has an urgency to everything, and it takes serious strength and like determination to work with your own nervous system and like take those deep breaths to not move into urgency. Because this world makes, well, not this world, right? Because I want to differentiate between like the world, which I would define more as like the encompassing world. So you're including nature, right? Nature is not, well, obviously humans are a part of nature. So every part of nature except humans is moving at its own pace. It's moving a lot slower. It's not in a rush. You know, I don't have to go through the all the examples of like trees doing stuff at their own pace, like squirrels, you know, doing things at their own pace, etc. But like the world of humans makes everything feel urgent. We are so uncomfortable with waiting, right? With the gap of time between like initiating a task and finishing a task, okay, that even if you have nowhere you need to be, little tasks like waiting for a coffee, let's use this example because I think this highlights it really well, right, is annoying or bad. So initiating the task, I'm going to drive to the coffee shop, or I'm going to walk to a coffee shop, I'm going to get a cup of coffee, even on a person's day off, right? And this is the average person. I know most listeners have a much more chill approach to days off, etc. But the average person, you watch them and, you know, they're like if they get to the coffee shop and there's a longer wait or like a long line to order, or, you know, they've been waiting for a minute, they're like tapping their foot. They're like, oh, this is so annoying. This is bad. This is not a good thing. Again, that discomfort because the task has been initiated, but it's not being completed. And there's a real discomfort with that. And this all plays into that sense of urgency that we are trying to like live our lives within. Okay. And then, so as well as the urgency of everything, and you know, you see example of traffic too. I think this is a big one. Like people are like so intense, and me too. Like I hate traffic. It is my worst fear. Well, maybe not worst fear, that's a bit extreme, but whatever. Yeah, if when we find ourselves in traffic, even if we have nowhere we need to be, even if we're on a leisurely errand running day, right, we've initiated task, and if we can't complete that task in the time that we had allotted for it, even if we have more time, it's like, this is the worst thing in the world, I'm so stressed, my nervous system is activated. And so, you know, part of slowing down, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but part of like beating, like just moving outside of the urgency culture, takes finding yourself in those states of an elevated nervous system, because it can happen even if you start the day not stressed, but just everyone else in the line in the coffee shop, for example, like let's go back to that example, is in a really heightened state of anxiety of like, ugh, we're waiting so long, this is so annoying, blah 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 blah, because our nervous system is going to automatically just attune to who is in our auric field, who's in our space. It takes so much work for you, but like it is always available to you to realize that you are moving into this heightened state and be like, okay, I do not want my body to be experiencing stress over this very small task, that if it was that much of a big deal, I could be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to walk away. I don't care about the coffee that much, right? Or, you know, just taking a deep breath, grounding back into your body and being like, everything is right on time. You know, everything is right on time. Okay, so the other tiny little thing that I want to talk about is the perfecting nature of everything too, right? Never good enough. So let's use the example of you're getting ready for a dinner party, you're getting ready to have some people over. And these are like your good friends, your family, people who aren't going to care if like you're running half an hour behind your schedule and, you know, you're still cooking when they arrive, right? These are people who would probably be like, sweet, like, let me help you. Like, what can I do? Except in your head, because of this, and I think it comes down to this, like, human, like, lack of self-worth. And so we're trying to perfect everything that we do and do everything that we do right on time, and do so much, right? These are all contributing to a really, really overwhelmed nervous system, a really, really burnt out non-sacral person as well. Yeah, so we want to do that. We want to prove we are good enough by putting on the perfect dinner, by, you know, having everything, the table set, all that right on time, by never being late to anything or never looking, you know, messy or whatever your particular, wherever your particular like perfecting nature comes out. Again, this adds stress because not only are you trying to do things like initiate task and complete task within a very like particular set amount of time, you're also trying to perfect that task. And that is just putting so much increasing stress on your shoulders. And while I do believe in, you know, part of devotion to living our life and being human is putting our heart and soul into the work that we do, and the tasks that we do and our relationships, not in a way where it becomes perfecting, in a way, you know, doing it in a way where it is actually saying like, well, do you know what? I put my heart and soul into this. Even before you do that, saying like, is this task something that is worthy, that I care about enough to put my heart and soul into? If not, if you still got to do it, good is good enough in those instances. But, you know, if you're like, no, this is something I want to put my heart and soul into. Okay. So you do that, right? You give it everything you've got, everything you have, you devote yourself to it. And then if you get to the end and it doesn't necessarily live up to the conditioned idea of what it should look like or what it should be, that is where you say, okay, this is perfect because this is me. This is made of my heart and soul. All right. Okay, the other thing that I want to talk about that non-sacrals but also everyone is fighting against when it comes to the urgency culture is the urgency of the new age industry, right? So this is obviously, I mean, this is something that I've spoken about before, but this is something that I know all of you, just if you're listening to this podcast, you are no doubt up against the conditioning and the advertising from the new age industry. And this is just, I mean, they really do play into both like urgency culture as well as perfecting culture, because they're really playing on this idea that there's always work to do and that it can't happen soon enough, right? Like manifest $1 million overnight, get your dream man tomorrow, make him come back with this, like this work, or if things aren't happening for you at the urgency with which they have decided it should, that the overculture has decided that it should, then, okay, well, what's wrong with you? You know, you have to figure out more blocks, blah, 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 blah. My perspective on healing work, right, is that, yes, there is always more rocks to turn over, but it is happening naturally, and you will be guided to what you need to work on yourself, right? And that comes with self-awareness. You do not need, all right, this is what I mean through this. You do not need me. You do not need any other teacher, healer, whatever, telling you that you need to work on something, because once you tune into yourself, it is so obvious, like the beliefs, the thoughts, the patterns, the karmic conditioning, whatever, that is stopping you from having what you want, or that is holding you back from being who you authentically are. And so before you go like looking for problems, just have a look around at your life, right? This is like taking stock take, and I don't want to spend too long on this because it's getting way off topic, but like just taking stock take and just kind of like putting a mirror up against yourself. Like, okay, what's like super duper triggering me right now? What am I feeling really activated by? And what's there? What's beyond the surface? And then once you have that, that is when you seek out the healers, teachers, readers, mentors, whoever it is that you feel called towards, rather than someone being like, you need this, like you'll die without this, this is the end of the world, or you know, your life will be totally changed overnight if with these 10 easy steps, right? Great, okay. But yeah, and again, you don't have to, but this is how I personally interact with the like spiritual healing, like, well, the people who operate in this field, right? Is I am first aware, and then I'm seeking out who I feel called towards to help me with that. And if there's no one there immediately, I'm not freaking out. Like if I'm trying to give an example, but there was, I know there was something lately where I was like, oh, I really, really, really want help with this. And I just like said, you know, just said to the universe, like, you know, please, if it's in the right, like path or whatever, just lead me towards a person who can help me, with this particular issue. And then what do you know? They came through. It was like recommended by a friend, right? Again, you don't need that sense of urgency. It doesn't have to happen overnight. Okay, so yeah, we are born into this urgency culture, right? Like, it is in our bones, it's in our blood, it is in our nervous system, okay? So when it comes to like being a non-sacral person who's born into this culture of do a lot, do it to perfection and do it in a rush, right? Deconditioning and retraining your nervous system to not act like a sacral, to not force itself to be a sacral, it is not something that happens overnight. So let's not take this urgency culture to deconditioning our sacral, therefore just putting more pressure on ourselves to be healed, to be fixed, okay? So the first step might be to actually take the rush out of your deconditioning process. Like, you know, hurry up and slow down, right? We're getting rid of the hurry up, okay? Just enjoy the process of deconditioning and have grace with yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, firstly, you are setting the intention, like, yes, an intention is just an intention, but you are telling yourself clearly, I am determined, right? I am putting my heart and soul into tending to my nervous system, into slowing down, into living with, you know, what I was designed with instead of trying to operate like a sacral and therefore burn myself out or, you know, end up lying on the floor. And, you know, here's a little like thing to reflect on, right? Whether you want to like journal it or whatever, but reflecting on how the dominant paradigm of rush, urgency, and this notion that doing stuff and like what you do, what you've done in a day is more important than being. Just reflect on how it lives inside of you and how it like operates your mind and how it operates your day too, and the decisions you make day to day. Also, you can reflect on which people in your life that you feel that sense of rush and urgency around, because there might be specific people that come to mind that when you're with them, your nervous system goes into like, oh, you know, you're right, I have to do this, time is running out, this is a disaster. And then around which people that you remember that not everything has to happen all at once, that you are in divine timing, right? Because these people are like gold when we remember that our nervous systems are automatically attuning to the people in our immediate auric field, all right? This is, like, to me, that's magic. To me, that is alchemy, the fact that I can be, Well, okay, so let's say, like, before I'd done a bunch of nervous system work, like, let's say, like, a year ago, that I could be standing with someone else who has a very activated nervous system and just stressing ourselves out into a state of panic. Or I could stand with, like, one of my grounded, lovely earth sign friends and feel myself relaxing and feel the pressure that had been on me just a few minutes ago dropping away, right? That is magic. And so as you do the work to retrain your nervous system, to know that there is always enough time, not everything has to happen all at once, and done is good enough, you can be that magician for other people. You can be that person who someone's freaking out, and just by being in your presence and just, like, you know, breathing with you, their nervous system begins to calm down, right? That, in this world, that is, wow, like, literally the greatest gift you can give to humanity. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about is rest versus slowing down. So the notion of rest, right, is something that is obviously spoken about a lot in human design circles. But I actually think that rest, at least the way that we think about it, the way that, well, it kind of plays into the sacral conditioned culture, right? So it is actually the idea of needing rest is not actually living or, like, creating a world that is suitable for all types. It is helping non-sacrals fit in with a world that is set up and built for sacrals, if that makes sense. Hopefully, as I explain, you'll get what I mean a bit more. But personally, I'm moving away from that classic idea of rest. So this is part of my own healing from just, like, all the health stuff that's been going on. I'm moving away from that, like, more typical idea of rest in my own deconditioning process. Because it is thinking that rest is the cure, or rest is, like, the solution for an undefined sacral. That's what has led me to this illness, right? It is this pattern of living fast. And in my case, that is not just, like, overworking, but also just doing all the things I ever wanted to do with a sense of urgency, right? Like, I have very much had the idea of, like, live fast, die young, like, as my personal philosophy, right? But then resting afterwards, right? And again, this is very sacrally conditioned, because it's like, okay, so I'm not necessarily, like, working a lot and then burning out and then resting, or working, you know, a full day then coming home to rest. It's more like doing things that I love and things that feel good and things that are exciting, but then after that period, needing to rest, right? So this whole notion of needing rest is, again, it is a concept that is, like, the whole idea of rest is only necessary when you are living in a world that moves too quickly, okay? So people do this on a daily rhythm, right? So move fast, move out, you know, move just out of your natural rhythm, and then completely collapse in the evening, right? And people also do this in a more long-term way. So people who have, like, for example, periods of lots and lots of work and then collapsing into rest. But, you know, I'm putting rest in air quotes, because what it is often actually low-level burnout, whether, again, we're doing it on that daily thing, so work really hard, come home, collapse, and rest, or long-term. You know, and so mine has, you know, been more periods of, like, lots and lots of activity, albeit very fun, right? Then either a few days or, you know, up to a month of just not being able to speak to anyone or do anything, and calling it rest. But it wasn't, you know, I mean, it is in this conditioned idea of rest, but it's not correct for non-sacral. So this is something we have to be very, very aware of, is am I trying to fit my, am I, like, almost, like, hacking my system to fit in with the conditioned culture, like the conditioned pace of life, and just calling it rest and thinking it's good for me. So instead of this, so here's the alternative. This is what I'm working with, right? Instead of relying on rest as the cure to residing in a sacrally conditioned world, I am switching to something that is deeply, deeply uncomfortable for me personally, and that is slowing down. So like I said before, you know, and you know, if you know me personally, you know that, yeah, again, my attitude to life for probably the last decade or so, maybe longer, has been live fast, die young. But you know, I never really thought about the consequences of the second part of that saying. And so a lot of my inner work over the last 6 months has been nervous system reprogramming, right? Like I've been talking about, just to cope with stress differently, right? To be able to have stressful situations come up, and instead of going into an activated nervous system, to be able to think with a clear head. I know I've spoken about this, so I won't go too deeply into it. Just listen to any episodes from when I came back, right? So probably like, I want to say May or something. Anyway, any episodes from this year, basically. And I have definitely spoken about stress and dealing with it differently, to heal my body from really the women of my family's stress and be perfect attuned nervous systems. So yeah, again, that perfecting nature resides within women because we're still trying to prove that we are worthy of, you know, having rights. Crazy. And you know, really reprogramming my nervous system to actually feel safe slowing down. So slowing down to me means really living my life in a way where I don't need rest in the conditioned way, because my life is moving at a pace that is naturally restful, all right, is naturally restful and is naturally nourishing. My human design students would have heard me say this word again and again, especially when we are talking about energetic management, which is a huge part of what we talk about in applied human design, right? How we are managing our energy, how we can help our clients manage their energy and receive nourishment. So what does this look like, right? In my mornings, right? In my morning routine, in my spiritual practice, I find rest and nourishment. In my work and the way that I am rebuilding my business, right? So I have this time when I've gotten sick, I've burned out, and I am changing the way that most of my operations in my business go, right? So in my work, I am finding rest and nourishment, okay? In my spiritual practices, I find rest and I find nourishment. In my friendships and relationships, I'm no longer feeling putting pressure on myself to be fun, but instead to find rest and nourishment. And so the next thing that you guys can reflect on, right, is what does slowing down mean to me? And if I let myself breathe the concept of slow down through my body, what does that feel like? So what I mean by that is, you know, just taking a moment to relax and check in with yourself and just, you know, move your energy from the external to the internal, come back to your body and just breathe the word and the whole notion, the frequency of slow down through your body. And just noticing what sensations, what thoughts, any discomfort that comes up. Because like I said, this is a really, really uncomfortable idea for me. And so if you also feel uncomfortable or unsafe, if your body also feels unsafe with the idea of moving at a slower frequency, of not having that urgency, then you are not alone and that is okay. And the more comfortable that you can get with the fact that you do have discomfort with slowing down, the easier it will get. Like it absolutely will. You will get more comfortable with it. And you don't need to force yourself to be more comfortable with it. You can just be with the fact like, oh, this does feel uncomfortable to me. And I still have grace with myself for that. Okay, so now I'm just going to go through three areas of life. We'll talk about work, we'll talk about relationships and friendships, and we'll talk about spiritual practice. And then just some ways that I am working with finding slowing down and nourishment in work. So hopefully that will help you to kickstart your own brain, your own body into thinking about how you can also invite this energy of slowing down and also this concept of finding nourishment in these areas of life, as well as the rest of the areas of your life, right? Okay, so starting with slowing down and finding nourishment in work. So this is something that I have sort of hinted at throughout this episode, and just I guess what I've been doing for the last few months, but I'm now putting more into practice, is just looking at, well, I mean, you guys know my disdain for a lot of how the spiritual like industry and the new age industry, and the, you know, manifestation industry like works with advertisers, etc. So one example that I was thinking of particularly this morning, right, there are so many examples for how I'm actually slowing down in this area, but one of them is this concept of like posting at the perfect time, right? So this is something that is just kind of standard across like marketing advice, this idea that, oh, you have to post at like this specific time each day. And you know, when I reflected on this, and this is why, like, it is totally up to you how you operate your business, right? And why you should be like personally reflecting on the things you do, the practices you have, to see if it feels true for you. Because when I check in, right, there has been absolutely no example of a person I've bought from, right, a person who I have invested my human dollars into, that I've been like, oh, I don't know, this was posted 16 hours ago, I'm probably not interested in it anymore, right? No, not at all. The people whose work I feel drawn to, like, I watch their stories, right? And so if they've announced something, or if they're selling something new, or if there's like a special offer or something like that, like, I'm going to see it, right? And yeah, I was like, why? I'm sure there's a reason, right? I'm sure marketing people are like, no, there's absolutely a reason. But yeah, for me personally, and so I do not need or want this concept of rush, right? So this is the other thing that I'm really, really working with, right? So this is what I was talking about before with the whole like having a, you know, 2 month plus enrollment period for my next applied human design certification program, is A, for me, right? I don't want to feel like I have to be rushing or being like, okay, well, I've got to get everything together and I have to like be selling and I have to like be doing this, right? I want it to feel like it's open, we are here, I'm preparing, I'm setting the soil, you know, I am planting the seeds, I'm getting the space ready, like building the energetic space, all of that. And then also for people who are, you know, coming in, I no longer want to play in that arena. Like, I am of the belief that nothing good starts from an activated nervous system, from a rushed, activated nervous system. So I do not want people who are coming in to be like, oh my God, like I only have like 12 hours to make a decision, blah, 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 blah. I do not want to be playing with that. Obviously, I have to close enrollment at some time. So there will be times when I'm like, okay, right, you have a couple of days left to make a decision. But having a longer enrollment period just adds more time, right? Adds more ease. It is there, okay? And so, and then also, like, there's a lot of studying to do, like, in the like the foundations portal. Like, obviously there's learning about the energy centers, learning about the types, learning about the authorities, studying the profile lines and all of these things. And so even just down to if someone does enroll, like in the first couple of weeks, then they've got so much time to interact with the preliminary content, right? So it goes both ways. It just is interacting with work with a slowed down nervous system. And this is one of the most like beautiful pieces of feedback that I got. So from my U expanded version program that I ran like in July, I want to say, no, earlier than that, June, we finished up in July. Yeah, one of the girls in there actually said in her testimonial, like a lot of teachers, healers, mentors, coaches, whatever, they actually just activate your nervous system and like make you actually feel in lack. But she said that just the way that I sold it and the way that we did the program and all of that, which good, it should, because it was a nervous system reprogramming program, actually made her feel really abundant and at peace and like there's nothing you're gonna miss out on, right? So that's exactly the energy I want to bring into everything I do moving forward. You cannot miss out. There is only receiving to be had. So that, what else? Nourishment in work. Obviously, well, let's think about this from a financial perspective, okay? So let's talk about the money stuff. Yeah, why do you work? At the end of the day, like, yes, we do what we love. You know, all of that stuff is incredible. But would I work if I didn't need money to survive? I don't know. Or would I just frolic in a garden one day? Or, you know, for weeks at a time? I don't know. I definitely would not work in the way that I have to in order to operate in this capitalistic system, right? While I still would probably play with astrology, it would be like here and there, you know, not in any kind of set or structured way. And so we can say we do what we do because we need to get paid. All right. And we need to get paid because we need to be nourished. We need to be fed. We need to have a place, a safe place to reside. We need to feel safe. Okay. So part of finding nourishment through work is finding a nourishing relationship with income, right? With money, with revenue, with profit, however we are looking at it. And part of this, so this is just like a little sneak peek at the 9-day ritual that's inside the membership, wink wink, you know, part of that for me was really, really looking at each of my offers, all of my services. You know, like I said at the top of the episode, they have had a big makeover, and reflecting on, does this nourish me? Do I enjoy selling it, right? Is it nourishing to me to market it? And when I receive income for this particular thing, does that feel nourishing? Does the amount need to change? Does it need to go up? Does it need to go down? Do I need to not have such long payment plans or have longer payment plans? Because yeah, you are being nourished by your work. And part of that is being nourished by your income. Another part of being nourished by your work is, do you feel creatively inspired by it, right? Creativity and expressing creativity is nourishment. It's soul food. And so, if you are bored or if things feel stale in any like part of your business, this is a place to look, right? And this doesn't mean getting rid of everything. Like you've seen with me, it's just going to mean it might just mean making little tweaks, changing the branding in one particular thing to give yourself more space to experiment and to put your heart and soul into it. I keep saying heart and soul. The coffee shop I'm going to after this is called Heart and Soul. It's so good. This is one little, like, just, I was thinking about this morning, like just something that you cannot get anywhere else except for like your hometown, especially when your hometown is like a small town, that the coffee shop I'm going to later, it's like my sister's friend owns it. And it's the place where we used to take my grandma every Thursday morning, like when, my sister and I were both in university. It's just different, right? Anyway, so looking at, is your soul creatively expressed? And how can you either create new services, new offerings, new products, new like parts in your business or in your work that do give you freedom for expression. And obviously, because I run a business, I am speaking to mostly to business owners. All right, so there's so much more I could say about that, but we are going to move on to finding slowing down and nourishment in relationships and friendships. This one's pretty simple, right? Check in with your relationship, check in with your friendships. Do you have to perform for any of them? Do you have to perfect for any of them? Is there an urgency in any of them, right? Or is there reciprocity? Is it completely mutual? And is it a safe space? Because nourishment is receiving. So are you also allowing yourself to receive from your relationships, from your friendships, as much as you give? Or do you feel like you have to be the one providing the service, right? People will only love me if I am useful. That is a huge one for women. I think we've maybe spoken about it in the Venus retrograde episodes, either of them. I think I unpacked it a bit more. Yeah, so you can go back and listen to those if that kind of rings true for you. Because yeah, this is so, so, so important to understand. Because you know, if you stopped being so useful all the time to your relationships, to your friendships, to your family members, would the relationship change, right? Would they not want to be your friend anymore? Or would they be like, oh, you've changed, but it's just because you are no longer just giving and giving and giving and, you know, not receiving anything in exchange. Okay, so which friendships and relationships are built on mutual exchange, and how can you tweak and, you know, potentially create some boundaries or whatever it is to make sure that you are also being nourished by your friendships, by your relationships, so that you are given to. Obviously the one caveat in that I always speak about is if you have kids, right, you're not cutting your kids off because they're always asking for stuff, okay? That is what kids do, so I've been told. Right, so, and then finding slowing down, yeah, I think we've kind of covered that as well, but like, does your relationship or does your friendship always ask you to do more, to be more, to get it perfect? Do you feel a lot of pressure in a particular relationship or friendship? Because that would take some checking in, right? Oh, and then the other example that I think is really, really good for sacral versus non-sacral, obviously, like, your sacral friends, they want to do more stuff, typically. Like, they want to, like, do activities and, like, go out and, like, you know, be a part of the world, whatever that's like, right? You don't have to. And so you could have those conversations with your sacral friends, be like, oh, do you know what? Like, I love spending time with you, but, like, I prefer when we are just, like, sitting down over a cup of coffee to going hiking. You go hiking with your other sacral friends, right? And, you know, so my best friend is a manifesting generator. She's the one I traveled with in England and Belgium and that. And she knows that about us and our friendship. Like, she knows that I'm not the friend to be doing, like, all the activities with. But when she needs to debrief, like, when she needs to gossip, like, call me up. We will sit on my couch, have a cup of tea, and just talk for hours. Or we'll go for a walk in the park with, like, a coffee or whatever. And then end up sitting down, because who can walk and talk at the same time? I cannot. But that's a more, like, ADHD thing, I think, than a non-sacral thing. Yeah, so little things like that. Or do you always, like, force yourself to, like, go out and, like, be the life of the party when you don't want to? That's okay. And then, you know, that's not to say, like, don't get me wrong, there are days when the non-sacrals are like, I'm here and I am ready to party and I'm ready to do all the things, okay? But as long as it's coming from, like, a nourishing, this is what I want place. And then finally, finding slowing down and nourishment in spiritual practice. We've kind of touched upon this when I spoke about, like, the rush and the urgency of the new age. And so this is really about, like, making your practice your own thing instead of feeling pressure. Like, and this is something that it took me so long to master, but instead of being like, oh, you know, I didn't do yoga today. I'm such a bad, like, practitioner. Or, you know, I haven't done this. I haven't done this. I keep saying I'm going to do that. I'm meant to be journaling every day. Whatever your particular thing is, just taking the pressure off and instead, maybe like in your morning routine or whenever it is that you find time, like set aside time for your spiritual practice, just being like, what would feel really nourishing to me right now? I even do it with choosing which particular like oracle or tarot cards that I want to do, you know? So usually my mornings will just involve like first thing, like sitting down at my altar, and, you know, meditating, grounding, like checking in with my guides, like putting on some protection. And then, after that, like, since I've called in my guides, like usually doing some divination, and like my preferred method of divination is cards, is oracle cards, sometimes tarot cards, if I can stand the heat, if I can stand all the swords, which doesn't always happen. And so I'll just feel into like which particular oracle cards or tarot would feel nourishing to me this morning, which will actually give me messages that I feel will like fill me up and help me move through my day. And it's really fun. And that obviously helps build up your intuition too, because, and just listening to your body and listening to yourself in these really simple ways. But maybe for you, like you prefer like a walk in nature and you're like communing with the trees and that's your nourishing spiritual practice. So again, it's about finding not what other people do, not what you've pressured yourself into, but spiritual practice should be nourishing. It should add to your life. You know, maybe your spiritual practice is like just stirring cinnamon into your morning cup of coffee and like asking for blessings or being grateful for your blessings and inviting more, right? That feels nourishing, right? That is exactly that, right? And that's a way that you can build it into your everyday, because it doesn't need to be these full, like, you know, 3 hour long routines or whatever it is that you're feeling pressure to do every single day. Maybe that's like something that feels really good on a Sunday when you have more time. But you can't think of yourself as like failing. And again, this is where the new age industry, the spiritual industry really, really gets my goat, because it can make you feel like you're not as advanced, if you're not doing these really complex like rituals or whatever it is, which is just 100% not true. Like your connection to God and the divine is yours. And if you are finding nourishment in it, amazing. And so, yeah, part of slowing down in that is just tuning out like what everybody else says you need, and kind of, yeah, again, like go back to what I said in the middle of the episode when I was like, feel into what you need and then find who or what practices can guide you towards that in a fulfilling and nourishing way. And that's not to say that like spiritual work isn't sometimes like exhausting, like when we're working with like our shadows and stuff like that, but like even approach shadow work in a nourishing way, right? Creating a safe space, creating like candles all around you and you know, whatever feels really nourishing to you. Okay, so we are at over an hour, so I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for listening. So you can find me on Instagram, The Human Design Hedge Witch. All of my links and stuff will be in the show notes anyway. As always, I'm sending you lots of love. I'm thinking of you, and I'm sure we will talk soon. Okay, bye.